Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio, 95.9 FM, KGVM.org online. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. This is the Local Musician Spotlight. I'm in the KGVM studios tonight with John Sanders. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I think John was just upstairs just last week and playing bass with West Dakota Stutter.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a fun time.
Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah, it's I was trying to think of all the bands that I've seen you play with, and I lost count.
I did too.
I guess it's good to be a bass player in Bozeman or a drummer.
I think it's good to be those things anywhere.
It sounds like that's not a unique thing for Bozeman.
People are always hunting for them, it seems like.
Yeah, I would say it's nice to have job security, but I think job usually implies something that you can earn a living at, and regrettably, I'm not sure that musician is pretty iffy, I guess.
Oh, man. I've been grinding at it a long time, trying to make it happen.
It's a kind of a bummer, but, I do think that the Bozeman music scene now it's happening. I still don't think that the money's there, maybe that it would be nice if there was, but just a lot of bands and a lot of great stuff going on.
Oh yeah, especially for how small the community really is. We've got lots of folks here.
With other people, I've sometimes kind of tried to speculate on what is it? Why is the kind of the concentration of musicians here so significantly high? And
I don't know. There's a lot of folks coming in from out of state. I keep hearing about there's some people that came in from Nashville and from California that are supposed to be real high-level people. And but we've always had a large per capita of musicians for some reason. I don't know what
yeah.
it is.
I mean, it's an awesome place to live, and I'm sure that has something to do with it. And I think the music tech program at MSU seems to have – I mean, that's a few people I know here are here because of that.
Is that Jeremiah's department? Is that right?
I'm not quite sure he is involved with it, but I think he is. Yeah, how long have you been playing music here in Bozeman?
Let's say since like 99, 2000, something like that.
You've seen a lot of people come and go.
Oh, man. it's weird to think about. Yes, I have.
So currently, what projects are you working with or bands are you playing in now?
The big ones are probably the West Dakota Stutter that we played here last week, and the Tiny Band, which is like a kind of a wedding band, a corporate band, and Pinky and the Floyd is the local Pink Floyd tribute act. Oh boy, and there's other things too, but those are the big ones.
Yeah,
broad strokes.
Yeah, Pinky's they've been doing pretty good.
They sure have. I've only been around half of their lifespan, but It just keeps going.
Yeah. You guys played at Kettle House last summer?
Yeah. Probably my biggest stage I've played that I can think of.
Yeah, that's going quite a ways there. That's a pretty big
no pretty pressure. Big
crowd. So when you're playing a gig like that, how does that compare to playing a gig at the Filler or something like that?
Oh, it's nerve-wracking for someone like me, for sure. But it's it can spur you to get your stuff together, you know, to work harder.
Really, really focus.
Which is nice because I don't always feel like working harder, you know?
So yeah, sometimes motivation and fear can do interesting things, I guess.
Oh boy. Oh boy. But yeah, that's a fun one. That stage sounds great. It's so fun to play.
Yeah. So tonight, John has got a couple of albums that he's put out as Johnny Sands. And the one just came out this year.
May 20-something, so like nice. 6 months ago now, I think.
Yeah, and it's called You and Me?
Yes, sir.
Nice. And recorded here?
Yep, right at my desk in town.
Nice. So we'll get into it, but you pretty much, you said except for maybe piano or keyboards on one song, you did everything on the album?
I think so, yeah. I'll probably come to regret that, but I'm pretty sure I did, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's quite an achievement. And you said that then you got a little bit of help or maybe quite a bit of help mixing and stuff from Ed Greider.
Oh, yeah. I can't thank Ed enough. Recording Edge Studios Ed's, I mean, he spent so much time helping me with this. It's just unbelievable. So I really appreciate that. And yeah. If anybody's looking for mixing or recording services, look up Ed. He's great.
Yeah, he is. You know, I didn't know a lot, but I knew he was doing, you know, I knew he had the studio. I guess I didn't really know that he was that much of a guitar player.
I only recently met him myself. We became fast friends. Yeah, he's an excellent guitarist also.
Yeah, I was having fun watching him wail away last time with West Dakota Stutter. It's like that nice bluesy guitar, and
yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, it's fun, man. So. He's such a nice guy.
See, I think we're going to listen to some cuts off of You and Me. And I thought maybe to start with, we'll listen to the lead-in cut, which is Me and You. I guess it's the title cut for people who have dyslexia.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Like me.
and then Friend is a Friend.
Me and you. There was 13 of the biggest antelope bucks I've ever seen in my life. And I've been hunting antelope since I was a little boy. I'm sitting there on the hill.
Any insights about the process that you went through to come up with those tracks? Or
oh yeah, I suppose so. That this whole thing, pretty much, it's been 3 years or even a little more maybe now since it got started. So it's hard for me to even remember that far back. It was the lockdown stuff. I would go out to the practice shed, gosh, almost every day for a long time, trying to write a batch of songs. Just do something with all the spare time, you know?
Yeah.
play some music, see what happens. And so these two definitely came from that.
Nice. Yeah, it that, you know, that time was it was a lot of things for a lot of people, and I think for a lot of musicians, it was, I mean, I'm sure, I know for some of them it was very painful not being able to go and play for people.
Yeah, I heard a lot of that from lots of people. Like, it stung.
Yeah.
People were hurting from that, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, it's, I mean, part of it was just not having the income from gigging, but I think for really a lot of the people I knew, it's not just a business, and it's not a hobby. It's, I mean, it's art, and a lot of art, I think, is not voluntary. You know, there's something in people that they need to do that, and not being able to do that for other people, I think, was pretty hard. But I heard a lot of people say, on the flip side, that because they didn't have the pressure to get out and perform and maybe travel around and stuff, they had time. And they had, you know, they also had time because a lot of the other things that they might have been doing kind of were curtailed also. So they had time to really focus on writing music and performing and recording. I think more than a few people that I know.
Me too, yeah.
Maybe they got one of the loans or something and they bought some recording equipment. And
oh, yeah.
A lot of new music came out of that particular point in our history, but
yeah, totally.
So that was kind of, that was your story here too.
Yeah, that was my experience too. Trying to get something done with all the newfound spare time, you know.
Yeah. So you did guitar, bass.
Yep.
Any other instrumentation?
I think there's some keyboards in there. Not many. Also, lots of, you know, playing voice memos from the phone through some random assortment of sounds and trying to make something happen with that.
A little experimentation with some of the studio technology at your fingertips.
Yep. What little there was, I did try to make use of.
Experiment.
I really wanted to have drums, but could never nail down anyone to make it happen, so just decided to go without. Hopefully it worked. I think it worked okay. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll listen to one of the other cuts on the album, kind of another, it's a little bit different song, but when I was listening to the album, it kind of jumped out at me, and as is usually the case, I couldn't say why exactly, which I don't care, I guess, really.
I like that, you know, more it's than like, the alternative.
Yeah, right? Well, I think that's true. Sometimes if you have a good reason, a lot of times it seems like, for myself anyway, it's because of some preconceptions that you'd probably be better off to leave that baggage at the door.
Too true.
And just listen and try to be in the moment. But I kind of, Grand Prismatic Springs sort of, I liked the way it came together and it sounded a little different. I think that's kind of fun sometimes. I know a lot of people that maybe they're not super comfortable being too challenged by their music. And I have a hard time understanding that because I like listening to the old classic rock albums or whatever once in a while too, sure. But there's so much more, and I just love like listening to something. Like, so the idea of not wanting to challenge yourself, sometimes I have a hard time kind of figuring out what that's all about. But I like some of these songs. It's like, yeah, it's got a, you know, maybe the textures were a little different, and like some of the effects and the processes you did with the vocals and stuff. And I just thought that was pretty fun.
Well, so, thanks, man.
Yeah, so we'll listen to Grand Prismatic Spring.
Does
That was Grand Prismatic Spring. So you said the process of putting this stuff, of completing the writing and putting all the album together took a significant about 3 years to wrap up.
From starting with just nothing, not even a concept for a song, to this is probably about 3 years or so.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's hard to remember.
I mean, any 3 years are kind of hard to
exactly.
look back on, but those particular 3 years I find even harder. Like,
yeah. What happened?
Exactly. It's it seems like almost no time and an infinite amount of time at the same time, which is quite a conundrum.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's like, wow, it was, time got pretty weird there for a while. So,
yeah.
Are you working on another one?
No, I kind of ran out of steam.
Yeah.
This just took such an absurd amount of hours to make happen that I just haven't had much in the tank since, but I want to. I mean, I'm trying to get to the point where I'm just like going to work with it, you know, trying to do it even when you don't feel like doing it kind of thing, just going and spend the hours and try to see what happens. If nothing else, just for the songwriting practice, you know,
because right.
It's tough.
So it was the songwriting part of it was the thing that was the real time-consuming part?
It split across the whole thing, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months to write most of them. Some of them got written at the desk. And then trying to mix it myself, giving up, throwing the whole thing away and being like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. And then coming back and then meeting Ed and then having Ed help. And just time just flies as it is and is faster all the time. And,
yeah.
Eventually it was done.
Do you think if you did start again, like on a new one, I assume that some of the things that you learned in the first go around would, at least that part of it, might go a little faster.
I hope so. The songwriting can be like pulling teeth, so I don't think that's going to be any quicker, but you never know. I'll probably use a whole different approach for the next thing. I don't even know. I don't want it to be totally guitar-based. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to have it keyboard-based or do some more collaboration with people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now that you can actually go and get in rooms with people.
There you go, exactly.
You've got some more options for that kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think those projects like that are kind of fun, where it's like not necessarily just a band, but you like maybe different songs you kind of pair up with people or with a group of people. And sometimes I think those can be really interesting. You get a broader palette, I guess, of, you know, sounds and ideas and stuff from all of the different players that come in and get involved with it. So I think sometimes that can work great. Sometimes it sounds a little forced together, you know, so I think that's probably a little tricky to do, but I've heard some projects like that turned out great. So,
oh yeah, for sure. It seems to be a little more common now to have people doing it that way instead of, you know, forming a band and seeing what happens. It's easier to like email tracks back and forth and just communicate with the phone instead of having to get in the room. And some people seem to be able to get a lot done that way.
That was a byproduct of the pandemic. I mean, just the level of people's ability to be productive in that environment where they're not face to face. I'm sure for some people that's super hard.
Yeah.
But if it's something that you can do, you know, just not having to try to figure out a time when you can all get together in one room.
Oh, gosh, the scheduling is just, what a quagmire. It's horrible.
I can see being able to kind of do your part asynchronously is...
It's nice to just be at your own desk in your house and have a few hours of time to actually sink into something. It's complex, it's different for everyone, but I found it to be nice to be able to just work alone at the desk like that.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll keep going here with a couple cuts, maybe three cuts. I think I like this song, Helen. Then Queen of Tears. You made an interesting comment before about it seems familiar, but not immediately recognizable.
Yeah.
And maybe King of Pain and Queen of Tears. But
I probably should have looked it up before I decided to use it, because it's one of those that sounds like it's probably been used 100 times already.
I mean, it turns out that's probably true of huge number of songs anymore, though. I mean, there's so many songs out there, and there are only so many notes and so many ways you could put them together. I think it's kind of inevitable. But yeah, we'll play Queen of Tears and then a song called Oh Well.
Still, city old bill. like a ball in the air. Oh,
That was Oh Well. Before that, Queen of Tears and Helen. I'm in the KGVM studios here with John Sanders, Johnny Sands, and we're listening to some cuts off of You and Me that just came out this May. I like the kind of the variety of textures and stuff, and like you said, you kind of some experiments with like with some of the vocals and some just some audio memos and stuff and yep. playing around with them, and I think it's fun to just see where you can go with some of that yep. stuff. Let's listen to a couple more here. We'll listen to Get Found and then okay. Cleo.
All right.
Those are kind of cool ones.
Oh, thanks.
Take on
That was Cleo. And before that, Get Found, and these are off of the Johnny Sands album, You and Me. Were you, when all was said and done, were you pretty happy with what you came up with?
I flip-flopped on that a lot, and yeah. I think most people do. You listen to it so many times, and you scrutinize it and pick it apart, and eventually you're like, ah, oh, I hate this. This has been a waste of time, and then you see it through, and so I don't really know whether I like it or not, I guess, is the answer. Some days I think I do, some days I'm not sure. I haven't listened to it in months and months. Since it's been out for a while, and I haven't listened to it since like the day I put it out, just to make sure it was...
Everything sounded okay.
I mean, you get to a point with it and you have to call it done, you know?
Right. I've heard other people say that. It's like, I never, after I get it done, I don't go back and listen to it.
Even if it didn't get to that threshold of good in your mind, sometimes you just have to, okay, here we go.
Yeah, launch it into the world. I guess at that point then it's really... It's kind of transcended what you think about it.
Yeah,
it's really how other people think about it.
Yeah.
And if they like it, maybe it doesn't matter if you like it.
It's all right if they don't like it too. It was just the process and the journey and getting it out and, you know, getting that out of my system, getting the songs written was the...
Right. I kind of wonder about that. I've thought this a couple times about like comparing the art of music and say the art of painting. And maybe I'd know even less about the art of painting, so I'm probably not, maybe I'm super naive and misdirected, but in my mind, it seems like it might be a little harder to tease apart the artist part of musicianship and the musician part of it, like the biz, you know, this is my profession versus this is my art.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, maybe that's not true. Maybe the same problem exists for a painter or something. But, you know, at that point where, you know, I'm creating this art and I get done with it, and in some sense, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks of it. It's, I created this thing and it's finished, you know, and whatever finished means, but at some point I have to say it's finished.
Yep.
And then people will look at it or listen to it and they'll like it or they won't like it, but c'est la vie, you know, I'm going to go to my next piece of art. And Well, I think we'll wrap up with the last song on the album. It's called Goodbye, and maybe you can say a little bit about what this is about.
This song is about my buddy Joe Knapp, who died a few years ago, and the chords and the structure came together pretty quick and had some words on hand, and it just all came together. It was one of those that came together relatively quickly. I think it was the first song I ever played in front of people up into a microphone.
Yeah.
Like, just by myself. And that happened at the first Pine Creek, Joe Knapp celebration at Pine Creek that's in July every year these past few years.
Nice.
So I don't know. That's where that all came from.
Cool. Well, we'll give this a listen, and we'll be thinking of Joe while we listen to it. Here's Goodbye.
Yeah.
All right. That was Goodbye. The last song on the album, You and Me, were about Joe Knapp. And so I want to thank you very much, John, for coming in.
Oh, thank you, too. I really appreciate it.
It's been a blast. And, yeah, if people can find the album out on Bandcamp, I think.
Yeah, it's on all the major streaming services also, and a lot of the non-major ones. I think it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And find me. I'm easy to find. Find me on Facebook. You can email me or call me. Those numbers are easy to find. Cool. Also, hopefully I'll get some CDs made someday.
Yeah.
I can start passing those out if people still want those.
The number of people that are still have a CD player seems to be dwindling, but they're still out there. Well, thanks again. This is the Local Musician Spotlight here on KGVM Bozeman. I want to thank you for tuning in and hope you'll stay tuned right here, and have a great night, everyone.